It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
Okay, it's time for California Wine Country with Dan Berger and Barry Herbst, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Gentlemen, always a pleasure.
Delightful.
We got a special thing today, and I he did look familiar, and we think he was here many, many years ago. He is international wine consultant Kerry Damsky. Kerry,
hey, good to be here, man.
It's great to see you. Kerry and Barry.
Yeah.
And Dan and Steve. So the website is Terroir. I'm having a hard time with these glasses. TerroirArtisanWines.com.
Yes.
And tell everyone how you got started. Let me just read this. Winemaking, strategic consulting, operational management for wineries and vineyards worldwide. Give us your background and history in the wine business and how this came about.
Well, I had Dan and Julianne over for dinner the other night. And Dan and I, we've been making wine for a long time. Dan and I actually made wine back in the
82.
We made Pinot Noir.
Wow.
Simple Coast. I fell in love with wine. I was lucky. I grew up in the Bay Area, Berkeley and Los Altos. And I had two parents that loved wine. And I thought I was going to be an anthropologist. I was going to go to Cal until I found out that I had to get a PhD. And you know, at age 17, I thought, I don't know if I want to do that. I'm still going to the Fillmore.
Stay in school for 6 years or drink wine and go to the Fillmore, yes.
You know, my parents were one of the few that had a wine cellar. California was just coming of age. And my dad suggested, I was actually in D.C. at the time. My dad was an economist back there. And my dad said, let me bring you home a book. He went to the Library of Congress, brought home Technology of Winemaking by Amerine, Singleton, and Berg. And it's this big, thick, blue book. And I opened it up, and there's no pictures. It's all science.
That's a buzzkill right there.
But I pursued. I became a scientist. I'm still a scientist. I'm a craftsman also. But I fell in love with wine, and it's been one of the most precious journeys that I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow.
And I make wine around the world now, so aside from California.
Did you study at UC Davis?
I went to UC Davis.
Yeah, okay. Wow. That's a cool story.
Yeah, it's a nice – Dan and I, you know, because we've been in the industry, well, Barry too, for so long, there aren't many people we don't know, except there's a bunch of young guys now.
That's true.
And gals.
And talk about your services for this company. You got a stunning website.
Well, it's – thank you. It's, you know, primarily vineyard, winemaking-driven, stylistic. I'm a winemaker – for a while, I had 18 clients here in Sonoma, Napa, Washington State, Tom Hedges up in Red Mountain. Now it's more manageable. I have about 7 different clients here. I have our own brand that I'm teaching my son how to make called Palmieri. And then I make wine in some pretty extreme places, India. Started the largest winery in India. It's 1 million cases now.
Wow.
Israel in the Negev Desert up at 2,700 feet. And then in Costa Rica, we're desperately working to start the first vineyards at 7,500 feet.
Crazy. What a challenge.
Yeah. It's fun.
Since this is radio, you can't see Kerry, but trust me, he has an amazing head of hair, unlike Dan. Unlike Dan and I.
That's right. Well, between the two of us, we have one head of hair.
Yeah, exactly. Barry's doing good, too.
I'm all right.
Yeah, you're fine.
What a genetic pool on that one.
So, Dan, fill us in more around the edges here.
I got to know Kerry in the early 80s when he was the winemaker at San Pasquale in San Diego County, on the same road that takes you to the wild animal park. It was pretty wild out there. Mm-hmm. And Kerry was making Gamay, and it taught me a lesson on what a great variety Gamay was. And Kerry made some fabulous Gamays in those days. It was really kind of on the cutting edge, I suppose you could say. And then Kerry and I got together and made some Pinot Noirs from fruit that that Kerry drove up and picked up in a truck and drove it back overnight. So a Pinot Noir from the Central Coast, and that was really exciting. And we made 3 vintages of it, 82, 83, and 84. 82 and 84 were very good. 83 turned out to be the only vintage-dated, vineyard-designated vinegar.
Didn't it have bread also?
Yeah, it had bread.
That's
also
a real mix.
We sold it to Trader Joe's.
Could you use it as vinegar?
Yeah, we did. We sold it as vinegar. Trader Joe's carried it under the Trader Joe's label.
Oh, no.
Hilarious.
Yeah, Gamay, is that Gamay Beaujolais or are those two different things?
They're different. This was Gamay Noir, I think it was. And Carrie actually made it as a red wine rather than as a Beaujolais style.
Same as Napa Gamay?
Yeah. It's Napa Gamay,
okay.
Yeah. Lovely,
yeah,
great.
Or Carrie has a long, long history in the industry, and he's not telling you the whole story. The whole story is, but a million cases coming out of India.
India.
But the wine is sold pretty much in India.
Yeah, as I was explaining to Dan, I go to India. I spend a lot of time in India. I just got back for a month. It's the middle of harvest now. We really are the forefront and the pioneers of subtropical grape growing. We're growing up at outside of Mumbai or Bombay at 2,300 feet. It's a plateau. We grow during the Indian winter, which is now, and the vines don't go dormant, so we have to prune twice. They've been growing table grapes there for a long time, but there were no wine grapes. So my partner Rajiv Samant, who went to Stanford, undergraduate work there, and I put together, and our first vintage was 1999. So we're coming up with, almost 20 years of winemaking. We're now, as I mentioned, a million cases. I have 16 winemakers. They all report. My title is director of winemaking, so I do that remotely. I spend 3 months there, May, June, July, and then all of Feb. So I spend a lot of time in India.
So what sort of varietals are you making in India?
Well, that's a really good question. We had to really – not only did we have to figure out what would grow there, because there are a few varieties that don't, but what would go well with, Indian food. We're doing Chenin Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc. Try the Chenin. Oh, excuse me.
Hold on. We've got to talk about the Chardonnay from the barrel. But
all right.
Continue.
We do actually a very nice warm climate Riesling, slightly off dry. Reds, we do a Cabernet Syrah blend. We do Syrah, Zinfandel, all the Zinfandel.
Wow.
Many of these cuttings all came from California in suitcases.
Nice.
So in India, if you go to India, raise your hand if you ever want to go to India.
I'd love
to. Okay. If you go to India and there's about 40 wineries there now, and all the Zinfandel in India came from two bags of cuttings that Rajiv and I got his last day of work when he worked for me in 1997.
From Sonoma County?
From a heritage vineyard in Sonoma County.
Wow.
Wow. And what are they drink a lot of wine in India?
Think about the population.
A million cases.
Well,
I hope so.
So there's 1.3 billion people in India. The average age of an Indian is 27 years old.
Really?
So it's a very young population. So let's just look at, you of course know that India has lots of upward mobility. If you just look at 1% of that as a potential market, it's huge. So That's crazy. This is really cool, if I can brag just a little bit. We have 69% market share.
That's impressive.
There's a lot of people would kill for that.
For sure. Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Oh, that's like Bottle Barn.
Yeah, exactly.
So we do sell in 18 different countries, but it's usually in Indian restaurants. And Dan was saying he just had some Sauvignon Blanc. And that's where you're going to find Sula wine in the U.S. But, we can easily sell everything just in India.
And what other countries?
Well, we're in UK, we're in Germany, we're in Japan. We actually sell quite a bit of wine in Japan.
Do you make sake?
No, but we are going through. I'm on the board there. We are going through some decisions whether or not we are going to be a wine company or a drinks company. So we do make alambic brandy out of Uni Blanc. We're thinking about doing gin. We're looking at doing, don't kill me, a wine cooler. Remember wine coolers?
The return of
there are no wine coolers in India. But
Bartles
no.
and James. Remember those guys?
Right. And we're looking at doing an artisan gin.
Wow.
So it's a very exciting company.
No kidding. Any of this available at Bottle Barn? We're going to talk about the specials.
The Indian wine?
Yeah.
No, but Sajeev's there right now, the owner of Bottle Barn.
Yes,
so
he
I
is.
I might get him on the job.
Yeah. Yeah. But any of these labels that Carrie brought in?
No, I just got samples this week that his son dropped by of the Palmieri.
Okay.
And Palmieri
so now
is
I won't
the
have to try them. They're here now.
Carrie's
brand. Yeah, indeed.
And Israeli wine, no. Not yet.
Oh, Israeli wine.
Wow. Yeah. So I have an Israeli Chenin Blanc. So this brand is Three Corners because it's named after where I'm doing working with my partner who has some in Israeli. We're in three wild areas of the world, Three Corners. This is Negev Desert Chenin Blanc. We make Cabernet, we make Sauvignon, we make Chenin. This is from my cellar, and it's a little on the old side, so you have to get past that.
I don't think I've ever had Israeli wine. Have we ever had it?
No, not that I know of. And then I have from California a very famous vineyard, Cayman Vineyard, Moon Mountain. And so that's another, again, wild volcanic soils. And that's a yummy wine. And then Palmieri, which is our family brand that Drew really, I'm teaching to Drew to be the winemaker, my son. And Palmieri is all about mountain elevation grapes. So we make Cabernet, we do Syrah, we do Zinfandel and Pinot Noir, but everything's from high elevation.
Where does the name come from?
Palmieri comes from a species of oak, Quercus Palmieri. Because we didn't think Damski sounded that good. It's very Polish.
Palmieri does sound better. I'm Italian. So
Quercus Palmieri is a species of oak, sort of an ugly oak, but only grows at high elevation.
Talk about, you brought a barrel sample of a Chardonnay. Talk about this.
This is sort of breaking our stroke for Palmieri because it's not a mountain vineyard, but it's an incredible vineyard. So this is a barrel sample, 2017. It's from a bootlegger's vineyard. Those that love Pinot Noir and love Costa Brown and T.R. Elliott, they are partners in this vineyard along with the grower, Charlie Chenoweth.
So Dan Costa.
Dan,
we love them.
Yeah, and no, it's Mike. It's not Dan. It's Mike.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mike Brown. Yeah. Okay.
And
well, we love him too.
So, well, I mean, it started out Mike Brown, and then it became Costa Brown. So it's owned by Costa Brown, Ted Elliott, and Charlie Chenoweth, and then we buy a little bit of Chardonnay.
I love the name, Bootleggers.
Bootleggers.
And this will go under Palmieri label?
This will be under our first white wine for Palmieri.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Now, when does that get bottled?
July. And it's a little hazy now, but, it's all native yeast. It's the Dan style. Native yeast, native ML, 100% ML, 13.9 alcohol, so it's not overdone, but just beautiful acidity.
Great acidity. That's what captivates me about this wine.
And Dan Lay It Down Burger will lay it down for 50 years. And he'll be in the next time capsule.
And his wine collection.
Wow. Okay. And this Israeli wine.
The Chenin Blanc. Yeah. The Chenin Blanc is really a wonderful variety. And it's appropriate that Carrie would test that one out because this is a variety that seems to have gone out of favor in California. But this is really popular in some of these lost areas. And we're starting to see them in other places. And it's really a fascinating grape variety. I wish more people would make Chenin.
Well, Peg just wrote about Chenin a couple issues ago.
Right.
And, there's sort of a nice little cult following of Chenin coming back.
Yeah, we're selling more and more, for sure.
The winemaker from Stolmüller, whom I trained a number of years ago, he makes a fabulous Chenin Blanc.
Oh, right. He's got the Peaberry vineyard. Yeah. Leo Steen.
Yeah, Leo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How big is wine making in Israel?
It's just the Spectator put Israel on the front cover a year ago. There's probably 200 wineries. And so many of the wines are, it's a hot growing region, but it's all limestone. And so you see some of these new winemakers that are using old, classic traditions, but pushing up the bar with, with new techniques in winemaking.
Are they kosher wines? Is there
Mogan
David?
We're going through that question whether or not we want to be kosher. I have no problem being kosher. I've made kosher wine here in California before. And then, as Dan knows, you have to have rabbinical supervision, meaning I can't touch a pump. I just have to tell people what to do. I don't really have a problem with that. So we may be kosher. We started out saying no, but I think we might be kosher.
The guy who knows more about kosher wine is Peter Stern.
Yeah, I know Peter.
Peter has made wine around the world, and it's all been kosher wine. Yeah. And interestingly enough, he can't make the wine because he's not Jewish. So he has to have a consultant.
Peter's not Jewish?
No, he's not. He told me that in an interview some years ago. Funny
stuff. That's why I can't touch the console here. this is a kosher show, and I can't touch anything because you know Mike has to do it.
He's fully kosher.
Yes, he is. He always has been.
Somebody's got to
He's the most kosher producer I've ever known. He's the best. Well, this is interesting. I don't know that I'm a huge fan of the Israeli.
The wine, as Kerry said, it's a little tired. It should have been consumed about a year ago, but it's very nice wine. A good example.
Yeah, the current vintage is 2017.
Right, this is a 14. But this is a 14. So this is a little old for now.
Yeah, bring me back when I come back from Israel in July, and I'll have some fresh wine.
So. Okay, cool. We will.
And Barry, you got to tell us about your little stash over here.
Oh, okay. So I've got the.
Well, hold on. We got to take our break, and then we're going to do what's on special at Bottle Barn this week.
Right.
All right.
Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn. It brings you a California wine country. We're going to find out in a day or two whether we've won another taste award in Los Angeles. I don't know. Whenever they get it together. Well, we win every year, so we're just assuming. We're just assuming. Kerry Adamski is here. It is terroirartisanwines.com. He is an international wine consultant and winemaker. It's great to see him again. Of course, Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn and my co-host Dan Berger. We shall be back on California Wine Country on the drive. Don't forget to go to calwinecountry.com or Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and anywhere fine podcasts are offered. You can check out California Wine Country every week. Kerry Adamski, he has a website that you should check out, terroirartisanwines.com. Kerry, you make wines, you consult for wineries, you do all this stuff all over the world, but you live in Sonoma County, right?
Yeah, happily.
Yeah. We can all agree to that.
You know, my folks had a vineyard in Napa Valley. I grew up in Berkeley and Los Altos, but they retired early and had a vineyard right next to Three Palms Vineyard. And my wife somewhat grew up in Napa Valley, but I was very clear I wanted to live in Sonoma County. You know, and I've lived here since 1986 and raised my kids here. And,
nice.
You know, it's a charming, lovely, incredible place.
And you talked about your son. He's interested in the wine business?
Yeah, his name's, I call him Drewby. It's Drew Adamski. Drew is 30 years old. He's really taken the reins of Paul Mary. I'm teaching him, you know, the ins and outs of making wine. He went back to Sonoma State, got his MBA in wine biz. So we've got someone that's got his MBA, which is nice to have in the wine business. He's passionate about wine and a really fun guy.
Very cool. We are going to talk about some of the specials at Bottle Barn this week with Barry Herbst. And by the way, anything you hear here or here on the podcast, and any questions you have, any question. I mean, you can go into Bottle Barn and ask for Barry and just say, I like this. I like this varietal. I like that varietal. Give me the tour. What do you think? And if Barry's busy, there's, what, seven other people?
Yeah, we're not short on staff judging.
They're all wine experts as well.
Really? I like to get out there. I get my exercise that way.
I got to compliment you, man. I love Bottle Barn.
Well, thank
you. I love all, you know, everyone loved Ben. Mm. I love how many bright, young people that are passionate about wine that are at the store.
Yeah.
And
customers, too.
If you walk in and just go up to one of the cashiers and say, I have wine questions, is Barry available? If not, some of the other experts are available. Mm-hmm. What's on special this week?
This week, well, first of the 17 rosés coming in. And what I just poured for everybody was Quivira Rosé, which was one of the biggest sellers
last year. So this is like a mega blend, right?
Yeah. Rhone varietals, Grenache, Mourvèdre, Petite Syrah, Syrah, Cunois.
Cunois?
Petite Syrah has connections to the Rhone Valley.
So. Yeah.
I had Cunois last summer. I had to go to Kaiser.
Yeah.
A disease for which there's no cure, right?
Dan, your thoughts on this rosé? I really like it. Hugh's done a very nice job
with all the Quivira wines over the last several years, and he's very, very talented in terms
of... Hugh Chappelle is the winemaker,
and he's very sensitive to high acidity in wines, but not so much acidity that makes the wine difficult to drink. In this particular case, he's tamed the acid down a little bit, so the wine is soft, but there's zero sugar perceptible on the palate. So what you get here is this beautiful profusion of berries and cherries and things like that. Barry served it at pretty much room temperature, and it still shows really beautifully, but this will be even better when it's a little bit cooler. This is a great summer wine and a really interesting wine to serve with either fish or meat. It's really the all-purpose kind of wine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Meat.
That's a pretty good structure for rosé.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in this wine, right?
Yeah, a lot going on because it's got so many different varieties.
It's a nice amount of sort of earthiness, too, which I like in a dry rosé.
Yeah. This could handle some pretty heavy foods, more than most rosés, I would say.
And this is a 17?
Yeah, 17. It's $16.99, so it's on probably the upper end of rosés, but I'd put it up against any of the $25, $30.
Yay, screw cap.
Yeah, exactly.
And a screw cap will keep it fresh.
I'm a screw cap guy, dude. I just love the screw cap.
A lot of benefits.
And we are 100% screw cap in India.
Oh, wow.
Even for our top-end wines.
Really? Well, I think the screw cap is the way to go. And this Quivira is on special this week?
Yeah. Well, it's a limited, you know, we only have it for a certain amount of time. I think last year it sold out in 2 to 3 months. So... we're featuring it now just so people know we've got it, because come September it might be gone.
All right. So. Bottle Barn Specials, a few of them. There are more. Check out their ad in the Press Democrat. This is Mueller?
Yeah. This is Bob Mueller. He's a longtime Russian River.
I've heard of him, and Trump hates the guy.
Yeah, exactly. He's a good winemaker, though.
Very good winemaker.
Yeah, Kerry knows him from way back, and we've been working with him forever, and we just did a big buy on his wines. Normally this wine is in the close to $40 a bottle. We just bought a pallet of it. We loved it so much, and it's at $19.99 a bottle.
Jeez.
Russian River Pinot.
Great deal.
Great price.
Yeah, we went through a ton of last year's vintage. We said, well, let's stop messing around with 5-case buys. Let's just get a pallet of it and be done.
Good.
So this will be around for a little while at a really good price. So.
That is good. Guys, tell me about this Pinot. I like it.
It's juicy.
Yeah.
It's got some rich fruit components. It's really a baby. It needs about another year to 2 years in the bottle. But if you get this now, if you buy this now, just put it in a decanter for an hour or two, it'll really open up. It's really got some beautiful flavors.
I really, you know, I'm serious. This is, this could become one of my favorite Pinots.
Yeah, it's just the right price point. You know, a lot of what used to be people's favorites are now in the $35, $40 range. It doesn't make for, you know, weekly house wine. But 20 seems to be the magic number right now. People can, you know, digest it for a weekday drink, so to speak. Yeah. So,
nice. Kerry, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, I love Pinot Noir. Mary Edwards taught me how to make Pinot Noir. You know, it's one of my absolute. I mean, I nearly make every variety, but Pinot Noir is absolutely one of my favorite red varietals. I mean, Bob does a wonderful job.
Yeah. Finicky grape, but
yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, once you learn how to make Pinot Noir, it's not crazy. Then it's all about terroir and site.
Right, or vineyard care.
Okay, now this one, this is one of the coolest ideas for a label, and you guys know how I am into the wine labels. The front of the bottle has a label, but it's blank.
Mm-hmm.
It says nothing.
It's like a blackboard.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's... The wine is called Call It What You Want. There are so many occasions to have a personalized bottle of wine, weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, showers, bachelorette parties. Now you can do it yourself. Call It What You Want. This is cellared and bottled by Jake Heverson Wines in Geyserville. He's been in before.
Yeah, I'm probably way back. Yeah.
This is a brilliant marketing idea. So,
this is one of the biggest hits we've had in a long time. We've probably already gone through over 200 cases. He's getting out of the business, so he cut us a really good deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's going back into construction, helping. He built a lot of Coffee Park,
and
a lot of those people have asked him to rebuild their houses. And
wow.
So he's, for the time being at least, getting out of the wine business. And this wine...
It's a California red wine.
Yeah, and it's mostly Zen, but it's got like six, the kitchen sink basically in it. Zinfandel, Sangiovese, Syrah, Petite Syrah. I think there's one or two others. And
wow.
This is fine out the door.
This is no wimpy red wine. It's,
no, it's pretty
15 and a half alcohol.
Yeah, it's really, really gutsy. It's got the real Zin stamp on it.
Yeah.
What's really interesting about it is that it's it probably has some older material in it because it's really got some – the tannins are really resolved already.
Yeah. It's Dry Creek and Russian River fruit.
Well, you can look at the color to it. It's got – you know, it has a little bit of brick.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's soft.
Yeah, it's nice and soft, easy to drink.
And the killer part of it is the price is $5.99.
Oh, wow. No, really?
Yeah.
Wow, he is going out of business.
No, he sold it at the winery for 20 plus. And
you can get it at a bottle barn for $5.99?
Yeah, and I think he's still got another 150 cases left. We're pretty much going to take it all.
Wow. Yeah, I like it. I like it. These are all on special at Bottle Barn. You can't find a wine this good for under $6, except at Bottle Barn. That's amazing.
It's like a grocery store price, but not grocery store wine, is it?
Yeah.
There's a certain flavor to grocery store wine.
It ain't $6 Chuck, that's
right,
for sure.
Exactly.
Kerry, your thoughts on this one?
I spent the day with one of my clients up in Yorkville Highlands, and we did a cellar blend like this. It's like I told my client, I said, okay, show me all the stuff you haven't been showing me. And I said, we need to turn this into cash. Yeah. So I made a wine sort of like this, and it tastes good.
It can be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Kerry Damsky is with us. He is an international wine consultant, though he lives here in Sonoma County, but he travels everywhere, and he makes wines all over the country, including Israel, the world, is what I'm trying to say. That 15.5, I had one sip of it, and it's
yeah, it's got a pretty good kick
head.
To it. Yeah.
Yeah. And in India, we were talking last segment about the Indian wines, and 1 million cases.
Yeah.
I'd like to be the guy that got that corkscrew account or cork account.
Yeah,
come on, that many capsules and
no screw cap.
Oh, it's all screw cap. Yeah, so the screw
that's
cap.
That's right.
Guy.
In India,
he's probably very happy with you guys.
Well, we started with Stelvin.
Hello, I'm 12 screw million cap screw caps. Right? Yeah, no. million cases.
Yeah. Well, we started with Stelvin, and you know the downside of India is that you know everything. There's 150% duty on everything you bring in. So we then brought Stelvin liners to India, and they replicated them, and they're working out really well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And, okay, Israel, UK, Germany, India.
Costa Rica.
Scandinavia. Canada.
Wow. Swedish Cabernet coming up, I'm sure.
Here we go. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You have a pretty good bank of frequent flyer miles.
I do. Every time I fly, it's 23 hours to get there. So every time I go to India and back, it's like 25,000 miles.
That's awesome.
No. It's more than that. Yeah. It's a lot.
So you haven't paid for an airline ticket in 20 years?
Well, it's when Daisy and I, my wife and I, traveled. No.
What a cool thing.
How about these Cabernets that you brought from Palmieri?
Let's try Palmieri. Yeah. You want to try let's try Drew's bottling.
That's
so,
good.
So, you know, the thing when your son takes over, you know the first sign? They start naming their wine after themselves.
You didn't waste any time.
Good going.
Why not?
Okay.
Putting his stamp right on
it. So this is Drew's bottling. This is from a Dry Creek Hillside Syrah bottling. Or a Syrah vineyard. It's 2014.
And this is under the Palmieri.
It's on Palmieri.
Yeah.
It's inky. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but the tannins are nice and resolved.
Yeah.
It's really pretty wine.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, it's not aggressive. It's not astringent in the mouth. It's got some guts to it, but it's not astringent as much as it is dense and rich in fruit flavors.
The color's amazing.
So we named this Hikel Hill. If you try to Google Hikel Hill or try to Waze it, you're not going to find it.
It's off the grid.
Yeah. Drew, tell us about that one.
You need to bring Drew in next time.
Indeed. Yeah. But it's a it's a great wine.
Dan,
yeah, this is pretty concentrated wine, and it's got so that we if you had a charred steak, a charred grilled steak, this is the kind of wine you want with it.
And the nice thing, Dan, when again we had Dan Giuliano for dinner, this is an example of a wine that's I know's in Dan's shelf. There's no new barrel on this. It's been in barrel for 24 months, but there's no new barrel.
Neutral.
Yeah.
So what you're getting is the fruit.
Yeah,
yeah, it's that's really indeed. Fresh, really bright.
Yeah.
I think that's part
and,
of it.
You know, and I mean, I love barrel, but Drew, it's fun working with my son. He says, "Dad, how about if we try this? You know, let's try that." And I'm at this point at, you know, at making wine for 40 some years and saying, "Sure, we can try that."
Good for you.
I got a 2-minute sign from Mike. Let's wrap it up. California Wine Country with Dan Berger and Barry Herbst. Brought to you by Bottle Barn and international wine consultant Kerry Damsky. When you get back from Israel, come in, bring your son.
I'd love that.
Yeah, I want to get some fresh Israeli wine. No, I'm sure he is.
He is funny.
So are you.
Okay.
That's why we love having you in. Last thing. We got about a minute and a half.
All right, last wine. Three Corners, my Israeli project. We make wine three wild, crazy corners. You tried the Shannon from Negev Desert, Israel. This is from California, very famous vineyard, Cayman Vineyard, Robert Cayman. Farmed by Phil Katuri. Yay, Phil. All organically farmed, grown in igneous rock. It's Cabernet Sauvignon 2014.
Wow.
It's an amazing property. I was up there last week, and the fire came right up to the vineyards.
Indeed. Yeah, I was up there last week, too.
And the vineyards make a fire break.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. We talked about that yesterday with Carissa Cruz.
Only 20 years to go for this wine.
Yeah, it's a big wine. Yeah.
Big wine needs time.
Yeah. 20 years. Yeah.
From the new moon.
And it's made in a very California style.
Yeah.
Dan, why don't you pour?
That's the terroir.
Pour it into the next time capsule, and
it'll be ready to drink. Yeah, that's a decant right there.
That's a decant. Yeah, time. 50 years of the decanter, right?
No, I'm done. Thank you, boys. Mm-hmm. Kerry, great to see you. We'll
great,
see you again
thank
soon.
You.
Dan Berger, what are we doing next week? Do we know? Is it Simino?
Tom Simino has Oded Shekhed.
Is my Israeli buddy.
Longbard, Israeli winemaker.
Yeah.
He hates me for getting my job in both Costa Rica and Israel.
Go to Bottle Barn and ask for Barry or any of the wine experts there, and they'll take care of you. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Drive.